New World Witchery is possible thanks to the generous support of our sponsors. We'd like to take a moment to recognize our producer-level Patreon supporters. Diana Garino, Renee Otters,
Ye Old Magic Shop, Raven Darkmoon,
Little Wren, JC,
Moma Sarah, Josette,
Jen Rue of Rue and Hyssop, Athena Beth,
Catherine, Plum Deluxe Tees,
Corvus, Jessica,
Victoria, Jonathan, Akia Bronvan Sienak,
Montine, and Hazel. To show your support and keep the show going, please consider visiting patreon.com/newworldwitchery and pledging $1 a month or whatever you can. And as always, thank you to all of our listeners.
Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
This time around, we're discussing magic and travel.
We'll look at travel spells, what charms to pack when you're on the road, and how to make any trip a witchy one.
So climb on your broom and let's fly. Fly, my pretties, fly.
I was taking a drink as quietly as I could, and that almost came out in a bad way.
Almost brown dragon, that one.
What?
Brown, when you like spit soot out of your nose, so it's like fiery and fizzy. So you brown dragon it.
That's hysterical. I've never heard that.
As you say, every day is a school day, Lane.
That's true.
So, magical travel.
Yes. We figured this would be good because I'm going to be traveling soon. To see you.
I know. Well, we've both been doing a good bit of traveling in the past month or two. You've had some events that you've been going to, mostly personal events, and I had a conference / anniversary trip that I did last month. And then we've got an awesome trip coming up where you're going to come visit me.
It's true. I'm excited. Yeah.
I am too. I'm really like, I know it sounds like we're being kind of like cool and playing this like close to the vest, but like I'm super excited about this trip.
No, for real. I'm very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got museum trip planned and what, it's not a ghost tour, but like what would you, like a cemetery type tour?
Yeah, so, well, because I figured, so, doing the ghost tours, like, the ghost tours that are available in Philadelphia, one is this, like, crazy old asylum, which would be super cool. It's also, it can be very expensive, and it's also, I don't know, it just didn't have quite the right vibe to me for this trip. But I found this other tour for the cemetery that I know about, through, weirdly through the Krampus Festival, because there's a group that kind of helps to clean up the cemetery and things like that, that's associated with the Krampus Festival. And this cemetery does these really cool tours. It's one of the oldest cemeteries in Philadelphia. So one of the oldest cemeteries in the country as well, I think. And they do these, tours that are, they're historical tours, but they'll kind of like thematically arrange them. And so the one that we're getting, we have a specific tour guide who specializes in spirits and spiritualists.
Oh.
So he's doing a tour for that. And it also happens to be in the afternoon as opposed to the late evening. I know some people have trouble, you know, with being out late at night. In a big city, it can be a little weird to be out late at night wandering around. And so this is sort of an afternoon tour. And also this allows us to catch our train back.
Yeah. Yeah, that will be nice.
Yes. So we have those two events kind of lined up. We're going to have folks able to come and join us for that. We're actually doing something kind of fun, something kind of cool. The people who are coming to the Philadelphia Museum event with us, so we're going to the Penn Museum, which is at the University of Philadelphia, and they have a special Magic in the Ancient World exhibit that we're going to be doing. We're getting a guided tour just for our group, focusing on this exhibit. And there's some other cool stuff at the museum too that we'll maybe check out as well. And so the normal cost for this kind of thing, like there's the admission cost plus like a $5 per person cost for the tour itself. And we're actually, New World Witchery is actually covering the first 20 people who sign up, through the sign up link, which we'll put in the show notes and it's going to be on our website. The first 20 people who sign up for that, we're covering the cost of their, the tour part of it. So that $5 is discounted off the total cost. So, and that is all thanks to the generosity of our Patreon supporters. So
absolutely
huge thanks on that. So yeah, so this is, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, oh, this is going to be really, really fun. We haven't gotten to do one of these like magical meetup type things in a few years, really.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives us a neat opportunity for that.
Yeah, and it's definitely different than anything we've ever really done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. But yeah, so I was telling Corey before we started recording, I was looking through books and things like that to kind of look for spells and, you know, correspondences of different things to maybe take with you while you travel. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't finding anything. Like, I would go through a lot of my indexes in all my books and, you know, nothing under travel. But then I got to Earth, Air, Fire, and Water by Scott Cunningham, and there's a ton on travel. He has some really interesting ideas for different spells, so I just thought that was funny. He has a ton, but nobody else has anything.
Right. Well, those two books, like, it depends, like, on kind of what kind of books you're turning to. Neither of us actually, neither of us really dug out our Judica Elish book, which is probably another one that would have had, I think it's actually got a section on.
It probably does.
Yeah, maybe not travel, but something similarly related to it. And so neither of us dug that one out because we both were kind of like, we use that one a lot. Maybe we should, you know, give that one, you know, a break for a while.
And it's funny, we didn't even discuss that. It just, we both kind of came to that conclusion.
Yeah. It was weird. It's that weird in sync thing that we have sometimes. Not the boy band, not the, man. You know, one of my favorite memes on the internet is the, like,
it's
the
gonna
one
about be the, May.
Yeah, it's the April flowers are great, but the skies are all gray, so in a few weeks, and then it's just picture Justin Timberlake.
Looking at the camera, like, you know. Yeah, that one
kills me. So, I didn't actually look at the Cunningham one, but, I mean, that one is so stuffed with basically just, you know, folk magic, sort of a simplified folk magic compendium. It doesn't surprise me at all that there are tons of travel spells in that.
Yeah. One is just like a color correspondence for use with candles, which mm-hmm. I find really useful because that's a lot of what I tend to turn to. Mm-hmm. And the main one that he says is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's, you know, yellow is kind of corresponding to air, movement, and, you know, you kind of extrapolate travel from that.
Yeah, doesn't he have one? He has one where you, like, light a yellow candle and, like, throw a paper airplane?
Yes. Yeah, that's the other one I was looking at. Let me find that page. 56. Yeah. If you need to go somewhere but you don't have the means.
Yeah, that's it.
So you, you hold a piece of paper and say, like, this is my tool of transportation. And you fold it in a certain way, and I'm sure there's a few other, you know, I don't want to give like the whole spell, but I mean, you say a little something at least 9 times, and then as you let it fly, you kind of visualize and hope that it helps take you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of a, you know, fulfilling your dream of travel spell.
I saw it kind of more of like, maybe I need to get somewhere and I just don't have the money, or.
Right, but this is not like a safe travel spell. Like, it's not to protect you while you travel spell.
Right. Yeah, it's more of like, I really need help to get there, please.
Yeah. No, that's an awesome, that's definitely an awesome spell to have. Yeah, clearly, I mean, that's one I wasn't even looking, I didn't even look at that book, and that's stuck with me for that long, so.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, it's, you know, it's in there. And does it's something like you have to, like, throw it from, like, the top of a windy hill or something like that, too, right? Like, there's some aspect of that. Yeah, wind plays a big part in travel spells, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, even in some books, you know, a lot of people kind of, or a lot of magical people come in with the wind. Mm-hmm. Mary Poppins comes to mind.
Yeah.
She flies in, and when the wind changes, the Wicked Witch of the West. That's not really air, but more of like the quarters, the directions. But that's still kind of
well. But how does Dorothy get to Oz?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Total wind.
Yeah.
Twista.
Twist them all, get the kid.
I'm trying to think of other ones, but those are the two that really jump out to me.
And I know there are, like there are things where like you can, sailors, for example, like they would use, knotted cords, and you could unknot the cords to gain wind in your sails, which is a travel thing. You could throw coins off of a boat and do what was called buying the wind, where basically you're paying the sea to give you some wind. But you have to be careful, because if you overpay, it gives you too much. That's just as bad. So
I've never heard that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Like, so you want to be like, here's a penny. Or if you have less than a penny, here's less than a penny. Cause you don't want to, like, you give them a nickel and you're screwed. So, so the wind does seem to be a big part of it. Wind and air, I think Cunningham at least associates air with sort of the travel. It's the travel element, so to speak, right?
What was that?
Like, in the Cunningham book, doesn't, like, when he's talking about kind of associations, isn't air sort of associated with travel as an element?
Yes. So he actually has a few different correspondences. So the color is yellow. There's herbs of, I say anise, so I've heard it, anise, and then mace and peppermint, stones, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, aventurine, mica, and I have no idea how to say this, I'm sorry, C-H-A-L-C-E-D-O-N-Y.
Chalcedony.
Okay.
That's how that I would say it. I don't know. For somebody, we need Cat Borealis to come in. She'd be like, no, it's actually Chalcedony. She wouldn't do that. She's super awesome. She's like, say how you want. It's just a cool rock.
So. And then under ritual forms, it says carve destination onto candle with visualization and burn, or charge a stone and send to your destination.
Thought
that was clever. Interesting. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. It's like a drawing spell.
Yeah.
Send your Horcrux ahead of you.
But you're sending ahead of yourself instead of like drawing it to you. I just think that's interesting. I wouldn't have ever thought of that. And then there's a symbol, which is just like an equal armed cross with little kind of arrowheads. Kind of like a really simple weather vane. And then it says other tools, a map with a destination circled and arrows pointing towards it. And then there's travel with protection during, and that color is red.
That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, but to some extent, I guess.
I don't know. And then there's, seaweed, kelp for the herbs. Carnelian and turquoise. Charge seaweed and carry with you on your journey. That's odd. I always want to know, like, the why behind that.
Yeah, I mean, I know seaweed, folklorically, you can have seaweed that sort of represents, not like money of the sea, but like the prosperity of the sea. And so maybe you're like buying the sea's bounty. It also makes me think a little bit of calls.
Yeah.
Like the idea that you would, so if a baby is born with a caul around its head, you can save the caul and you would take that with you. And a caul is like, it's like a thin membrane that sometimes shows up during birth. And if you take that, dry it out, sailors would pay good money for those because it would prevent drowning at sea. And I wonder if the seaweed kind of has a similar function. So.
Interesting.
So it's just a sort of a safeguard against accidents.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because this is the protection part of it. But anyway, that's honestly what Scott Cunningham has to say. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, No, that's, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, have you ever used any of those that you can remember to do any kind of travel work?
I'm trying to think. Nothing that pops out, although I feel like I would have at some point, but yeah, nothing pops up. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, travel is one of those things where, like, you know, folklore, particularly kind of magical folklore, always shows up sort of during the highest stress periods. Like, there's a direct relationship between, like, stress, need, and magic kind of all working
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And travel's really stressful, so there's a lot of folklore stuff about it. But my personal stuff before we, you know, deal with any of the folklore with it, like, I have a lot of things that I do or have done as a part of making sure that I, you know, am safe wherever I'm traveling, even if that traveling is just, you know, traveling to and from places in like a car on a daily journey. I usually have, I think I've talked about this before, like right now I kind of keep a penny on my dashboard with the little shield pointed up because a lot of pennies now have a little shield on the back of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have that so that the shield is reflected in my windshield so that I feel like I'm protected, both safety wise and also like from the eyes of the man, you know? So if I'm pushing that extra 5 miles over the speed limit, then I'm not going to get busted for that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But then there's also a lot of kind of spirits that I've sort of brought in to safe travels, you know, as far as the ways that I've traveled. The one that I started, you know, the one that I had in my car for the longest time, I had a little medallion that had a picture of Mercury on it and had this mm-hmm. little symbol for Mercury on it. And I would keep that kind of in the car and I would feed it regularly. Just little, you know, honestly, this is ridiculous. Like whatever drink I had, I'd be like, well, you know, I'll just give him a little something. And so like he got a lot of Dr. Pepper. So it is what it is. I'm not saying it was right. I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm saying it's what I did. He seemed fine with it. He liked his Dr. Pepper. I don't know. And so like, I would just sort of rub the medallion with a few drops of that and sort of, keep me safe on the road. And Mercury is associated with, travel, traveling salesmen, travel and business. So Mercury was kind of a protector in that way. And then I've also, with the Catholic upbringing, St. Christopher is always kind of there. Mm-hmm. As a potential saint to carry with you. So like, I have a little St. Christopher medallion that sometimes I'll carry with me, often in my wallet if I'm traveling someplace, that's far away. And then I have a very long standing relationship with St. Anthony, who most people don't associate with travel, but one of the things that he does, he will open roads. So he's a kind of a road opening saint. And. Mm-hmm. So what he'll do is he'll kind of smooth the way. So like if there's a traffic jam coming up or if there's something like, you know, turbulence, things like that, anything that's making the journey rough or making the journey difficult, sort of invoking him helps you to get where you're going. If you get lost, he's great because he's the patron saint of lost things. He helps you find them. So he helps you find your way back.
Right.
And there's stories about him kind of, traveling the road to hell with a fennel stalk as a walking stick, and he would carry fire back from hell in that fennel stalk, so he can lead you there. He can lead you to hell and back, you know,
mm-hmm.
And do it safely. So he's another one I kind of turn to for that.
I really like that. I think I'm going to have to use the penny shield because mm-hmm. the last time I traveled, which was less than a month ago, for my friend's wedding, I got really panicky at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it was like separation anxiety from my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that was only the second time I'd ever left her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, 2.5. But, yeah, this is going to sound really stupid, but I was absolutely certain that I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, yeah, this plane is going to crash and I'm going to die. And this is like while I was on it. And I was like, well, I'm just going to have to accept my fate, basically. And it was weird because I don't usually get like that. And I don't, you know, the plane ride was absolutely fine. It was a great plane ride. And I was just like, why am I suddenly reacting this way? But I definitely feel like I need like a little something, you know, to help, to help just with my own peace of mind.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, I've traveled a lot more in the past couple of years than I had previously, and there really is something where, like, in the past couple of times I've traveled, if I start thinking about how airplanes work, it really messes with my head, because at some point I'm like, we're in a giant tube. We're in a giant tube. There's no reason we should be up here. This isn't right. This doesn't work. Like, if the bottom of this tube goes out, I'm dead. This is it. It's game over, man. Game over. Like, so, like, this is so,
rest,
like,
in peace, Phil Pax.
I know, that's twice, because wasn't he in Twister too? So we've got two Paxton references in one episode so far. We just need to round it out somewhere in the show. But yeah, that sort of messes with me a little bit.
So yeah.
I don't know.
I try to tell myself, like, they're designed to stay in the air. Like, that's where mm-hmm. they want to be. But it doesn't always work.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, I think when you're a parent as well, there's an aspect of that influences it, because when you're not thinking about, like, you know, who's going to take care of your kid or whatever, I don't know, the anxiety the anxiety of flying for me was never as strong. But since I've been a parent, the anxiety of travel like that, it does hit me a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that may be it too.
Just strange. But yeah, I really like the idea of the shield with the penny. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, I like it. It's super simple. You know me. As simple as possible. Or as complex as imaginable. Either way, there's no room in between. I don't do things in the middle. you mentioned the idea of, like, getting to the gate. One of the problems that I think we can run into when we travel is, what magic do we bring with us? Anymore, if you have magical conditioning oils or things like that are over 1 ounce, you've got to figure out how you're going to get them on the plane, right?
Yeah, so, that's the truth.
And honestly, like, so I carry a lot of, like, charms and stuff with me all the time anyway, but there are some that, like, I don't travel with because I don't want to put them in my check bags in case those bags get lost. But I also know that if I walk up to the TSA checkpoint with a mojo bag full of weird herbs or a rabbit's mm-hmm. foot that I have, you know, a rabbit's foot by itself, probably, like a normal keychain rabbit's foot, is probably not going to raise any eyebrows, but having one that has, like, a little bag kind of tied to the end of it that has a bunch of stuff in it,
mm-hmm.
I just get the impression they're going to say, no, that can't go through.
Yeah.
So I don't do that. Do you kind of have the same?
I don't play around with it. Yeah. I take as little as I can, and I do check a bag, usually,
mm-hmm.
just because I have a lot of, like, toiletries and stuff
mm-hmm.
that I don't really want to, you know, have to deal with getting through. But, so that's, if I needed to pack something like that, that would be how, you know, I would just put it in my bag. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was like you said, I just don't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Are there any magical things that you do carry with you, or that, you know, you're always you sort of expect that you will have with you or be able to get as soon as you're at your destination? Like, I'm thinking here of, like, cards. Like, I always carry cards with me.
Not always. I have recently bought a new pair of earrings, mm-hmm. and they're studs, but they're in, like, a line, and they go up my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And on them are the phases of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with, you know, the full, and then, like, goes into, like, I think there's four or five of them on the stud of, you know, the different of it waning into a crescent. And they're really pretty. I really like them. I wear them all the time now. But they've definitely, I bought them because of the moon, and the kind of hiding in plain sight that I liked about them.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of helped me connect with my magic on an everyday level.
Mm-hmm.
So I could probably anoint them with something, you know, like the earrings and, like, you know, we've talked about magical jewelry and mm-hmm. amulets and things like that. I could definitely see doing something with that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think magical jewelry is, like, one of the things that you can probably get away with. Like, obviously, they make you take jewelry off and things like that when you get through the TSA thing, but they don't tend to look twice. You know, if you're wearing a stone, like a wire-wrapped stone necklace,
mm-hmm.
you put it in the tray, you slide it through, you get it back on the other side, and no one really looks twice at that.
So right.
It does seem to be a little more effective. String charms that you can kind of wear around your wrist and things like that are also very good
mm-hmm.
in that way. So that's, yeah, it's clever. I like the idea of that and kind of charming the earrings as a component. Are there other things that you can think of in terms of, like, you know, one of the things, if you're not flying, like, say, for example, you're not flying, because flying is really this one specific kind of travel, and it's a lot of, like, what we're thinking of here.
It is.
Yeah, if you're driving, or if you're taking a train or something like that, you have more options. So, like, do you ever have those little mini portable altars or anything that you carry with you, or have you ever used one of those?
I've had one given to me. It was in the goodie bag, I believe. Mm-hmm. The last, like, podcast meetup we did.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I never actually had to anywhere to bring it with me. That's the thing. I don't actually travel that much.
Mm-hmm.
I would really, really like to, you know, kind of overseas type stuff. But, mm-hmm. And traveling is so exhausting for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever see myself needing to, you know, perform a ritual or do anything like that when I'm traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, oh, sorry, stupid chair. It's a lot more you talking this time than me. Just because, yeah, like I said, I really don't travel that much. So sorry to kind of, like, throw this all on you, but.
Well, it makes it exciting for our listeners, so. Because who doesn't love the sound of my voice?
What did I say? It was like mulled brandy or something like that?
Like fresh squeezed grapefruit juice? I don't. Spiked hot cocoa. Whatever. If you have a metaphor for my voice that you would like to share with us, please send your emails to. I think with those, like, portable altar kits and things like that, like, I have used those before, but I don't tend to use them for traveling. I actually tend to use them as one of those things where, like, I need to surreptitiously do a quick spell in, like, a public park. And so, like, that's one of those things where, like, I can just stuff that, like, an Altoids tin with, like, all the little components and stuff in my pocket. I can carry that into the park, kind of go off in a space, do a really quick little ritual with all the stuff that I've got, kind of out of sight of, you know, the main paths or whatever, and then pack it up and take it out with me without having to bring in a whole bunch of gear. So I don't really use those as travel ritual items. Those tend to be things that I just kind of use sort of to be, you know, on the DL when I'm doing work in a space where there's going to be a lot of people around that would maybe look at me weird if I came in with a staff and a cloak and wizard hat. Maybe, like, the LARP section of the park is over there. So I'm like, I'm not LARPing. Spiritual thing.
I promise.
But it looks like LARPing, I understand. So, and then I hit them with a beanbag and say lightning bolt. So yeah, so that doesn't tend to, like, I don't tend to use those little mini altars as travel altars. But I do, you know, like I said, I do bring cards with me. Cards are just one of those things, like, I'll do readings for people kind of anywhere. And then they're also, I like using the cards as kind of a way of sort of laying out potential spells, even if it's just sort of like, oh, I can combine these two or three cards and I get sort of a sense of, like, what that spell should look like. So cards work really, really well for that. But I don't tend to carry a lot beyond that. Maybe some occasionally like a little book or something like that. I almost always carry my little magical, I don't want to call it a magical journal because I don't write in it every day, but it's the more of a magical commonplace book, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I'll carry that with me so that if I need to have access to a spell or something, I have it. Or if I find something new, I can write it down. But otherwise, no, I don't tend to do a whole lot with, like, the portable spell side of things.
Yeah, I don't. I am noticing, though, that, and we, you know, we talk about this a lot, but I feel like with traveling, the way to go is kind of hidden in plain sight. And mm-hmm. to kind of think outside the box, you know, like for, you know, if you need something to have to do with fire, you don't need to bring a lighter with you. That usually, right. you know, that can be more restricted. You know, you could bring, one thing I've used for fire, a lot is, what's that stone called? I'm a terrible witch.
I have no idea.
Is it obsidian? I'm thinking of, it's black. And yeah, it's like it's turned black by, like, through
volcanic processes.
Yes.
Like, it's the black volcanic glass, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that I can kind of, you know, connect to that fire element without actually having an open flame.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, little things like that. You don't always need, you know, to go big or go home. You can go small and go travel.
Yes. Your portable flamethrower is probably not a good idea if you're traveling and doing a ritual. No, that's clever. I like that. I like the idea because you could really just kind of carry a small pocket stone thing or even like you said, sort of wear jewelry that has each of them on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have like all the component pieces you need for an elementally based ritual. Just through the jewelry that you're carrying. But what about, so when you are traveling, another kind of way that magic can show up is like the idea of like omens or signs. Like, do you have, when I was growing up, I'll start with some simple ones, and then kind of get into some that are from folklore maybe later. But, when I was growing up, like the things that you were supposed to do was you were supposed to, when you crossed over railroad tracks, you lifted your feet up.
Yes.
Off the ground. Mm-hmm. Or if you pass by a cemetery, you
hold
your breath. Yeah.
Yeah. We did that too.
And so that's, you know, it's travel stuff. And, you know, the reasoning is to prevent bad luck or prevent, you know, offense to the dead or things like that. Is that something you kind of grew up with too?
I never knew the train thing. Like, I never heard a folkloric reason why we did it. Mm-hmm. But the graveyard thing, it was always explained as you don't want the ghosts to try to steal your breath.
Mm-hmm.
They'll kind of like sense you're living and come and take it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the odd thing is, like, if you were just walking through one,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't be. It makes me wonder if there's like a reverence aspect of it. Like, mm-hmm. you're traveling so far past it and you're not actually like paying respect to them. So you kind of, you hold your breath so that they don't know you're there.
Right. Like, if you're not taking the time to like acknowledge their names
right,
and their existence.
Yes. Another one that we did, that a few friends of mine still do is, you would hold your breath going over a bridge.
Mm-hmm. Or under a bridge or through a tunnel, right?
We never did the tunnel. My mom would always like honk her horn going through a tunnel, which I hear mm-hmm. is like a Maryland thing where she's from.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But that never really anything like with going under tunnels. Or, I mean, under bridges. It was always just going over. You'd hold your breath. I don't know.
So one of the things with the tunnel that I've heard is you hold your breath, and if you hold your breath through the entire tunnel, you get a wish. Was that part of the bridge thing too? You get a wish, or was it just like so you don't die by drowning?
It was so it doesn't collapse, basically.
Yeah,
I think it was purely fear based.
Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, I remember a lot of like those kind of things showing up, and like with the under a bridge, it was the same thing. Like if you went through a tunnel of any kind, so under a bridge kind of counts as a tunnel.
Yeah.
But then, like, a tunnel was the one where you really held your breath, because if you could hold it the whole length of the tunnel, you would get a wish, which was always fun. I remember, you know, from the folklore studies that I've done, there are a lot of things about travel rules that restrict, like, so if you leave on a journey, if you leave on a trip, and you realize you forgot something, you can't go back for it. And if you have to go back for it, then you have to either leave a different day or leave a different way. Have you ever heard that?
No, I've never heard that. That makes me paranoid now, though.
Now you're like, well, now if I leave the house, I'm screwed. I can't go back for anything. But no, like, you can still go. You just have to leave it different. Like, so instead of turning left to get out of your neighborhood or whatever, you might turn right, go around the block, and then come back out or something like that. But you have to change your direction. Like, it involves changing what you're doing so that whatever trajectory you were on when things screwed up is altered. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so that was a very common thing. Was that you wouldn't want to just go back and go straight back the way that you came out. If you could avoid going back at all, it was a good idea, because when you do that, you're sort of reversing your course, both literally and metaphorically, rhetorically, magically. So,
right.
And you still see that, lore show up in things like graveyard processions too. Like, if you carry a body to the graveyard, you're supposed to leave the graveyard by a different route so that, you know, the dead don't follow you home, sort of a thing. So you see that show up, in other places as well, but that's just, it's in travel is another one I remember. And then I also know, like, while you're traveling, you shouldn't, pick things up off of the road that, like, are odd. Like, if you find a horseshoe just kind of left in a crossroads, you probably don't want to pick that up because somebody threw it there to get rid of something bad. So,
right.
Like, either you're going to get warts or guess what? Your soul is forfeit. That kind of a thing. So, I don't know if you've ever heard that kind of a thing or not.
No, but it makes sense. Like, it's probably something I would not do. Just like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We always, you know, leave the uncanny thing lay. Unless you're super sure, like, hey, I can use that spell, and I'm not really worried about picking it up and, you know, suddenly having three trolls show up on my doorstep demanding my youngest daughter. Which happens so often, you know.
Right, of course.
So those are kind of the folkloric travel things that kind of came to mind. And a lot of those are rooted in Eastern and Southern Appalachian lore, things like that. That you may also see stuff like that show up more generally. Any kind of European-influenced lore, you'll see that. But I think there's also a lot of, you know, lore about crossroads and, like, what can you do at crossroads. So you have to be a little careful of those when you're traveling as well. If you come to a crossroads, it's one of those things where, like, that's the place to take extra caution, I think. Which makes sense.
Like is it just kind of stuff we talked about before, or?
Yeah, that sort of liminal space. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And, like, you can leave spells at crossroads because they will get, as people travel over them, it sort of breaks the spell apart and carries off the pieces in different directions. And so it's a good way to disrupt a spell that you're trying to get rid of, but at the same time, like, you don't want to be the person who winds up, you know, tracking that spell home either. So,
mm-hmm.
Do you have other, like, some people have issues, for example, if they see birds flying in certain ways, like if you see, like, crows flying in from the left, that means, you know, bad luck coming and things like that.
Just thinking about birds. It's funny because I can't remember any, like, what this specifically means. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't really go by it, but I have heard that a lot of folklore around, you know, if you see, you know, one crow on a fence post, you know, it means this, but if you see two, it means this, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think of that, like, while traveling, because it's usually while driving that you would see that.
Yeah, no, that's
for
that's
me, anyway.
Exactly right. No, I think that's the thing.
So it's not specifically traveling, but it's, I don't know, that just is kind of what comes to mind.
It's travel adjacent, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's one of those things, like, there's a reason that we do these car games, like these, you know, car bingo or license plate bingo, things like that, because if you're not the one that's actually driving, you've got to kill time. Mm-hmm. So watching for things like that makes total sense. And you know, the omens are good, you know, if nothing else, it's sort of a good way to be tuned into your surroundings. One thing that, you know, this is much more modern. This is not, you know, a lot of times when we talk about, like, folk magic, people are thinking, like, well, back in '06, you know, like, that's what people think of as folk magic. But, you know, folk magic still goes on. It's still stuff that people do and people create now. And one of the kind of recent incarnations of folk divination is radio divination. So, like, you ask a question and you see what song comes on the radio in response to it. And that can happen while traveling.
Okay, that reminds me of Final Destination,
mm-hmm.
where it's actually a pretty good, you know, little kind of horror movie. Mm-hmm. Basically, the protagonist gets a premonition that the plane is gonna crash, and he gets off and refuses to fly, and a few of his friends follow him, and they've basically kind of cheated death, so kind of, you know, death comes for them in these bizarre ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's some of the first and, like, the second are running together. But at one point in one of the movies, there's a big traffic jam and Highway to Hell is playing. And I swear, I love AC/DC. Mm-hmm. I like that song. I cannot listen to it in the car. It gives me, like, bad feelings every single time. And I turn it. I just can't listen to it in the car. And so, that was kind of a weird tangent to what you just said, but mm-hmm. it always gives me just, like, the Wiggins. I just can't do it. And then also, there's, I think it's like a John Denver song that they use in that movie.
Yeah.
That.
It's not Country Roads Take Me Home, is it?
No. I love that song. It kind of clues them into, you know, something bad's about to happen, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, Highway to Hell just stresses me out whenever I hear it on the radio. In the car, that is.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, no, I love me some AC/DC too, but I can totally see that. Like, I haven't seen Final Destination, any of the Final Destination since like early 2000s maybe. But I do, you know, I do have mental images of a few of those things. And I mean, the whole thing is set off by the fact that, like, one kid gets a premonition about what's about to happen. And gets a certain number of the kids off the plane. So that's like they've cheated death due to a premonition, due to a sort of divinatory foresight. So it's interesting that then you keep having these foresights that are at least foreshadowing events throughout the rest of the thing. The film. But yeah, so like with radio divination, beyond AC/DC, do you ever do that where, like, you're, you know, you just sort of need a response and you see what's on the radio?
No, I've never thought to do that, which is kind of silly because I've done it with books before, and that's just kind of a modern reinterpretation of that.
Yeah.
Using the radio, that is. So now I'm very tempted to. I think that sounds really interesting, but also, I don't really listen to the radio much, and I listen to podcasts a ton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of, you know, cue up what I'm listening to in the car. I usually don't. You let it fall to chance.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, that is actually a huge difference now. Is like, you know, that really worked 10 years ago. But now people don't really listen to, you know, much straight radio in the car, or they might listen to, like, their Spotify list or something like that, but it's much more curated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you can still do it. I think it's still something that's perfectly valid, but, like, you may have to open yourself up to chance a little more for that to work. Like, even if you use, I think it's what Stitcher, I think, is it one of the podcast apps where it'll kind of, like, just sequence all of your podcasts and just play them as though it's a playlist of podcasts, but you may not always control exactly what order they're in. Like, I think that would work.
Yeah, I think even the, like, the podcast app on the, like, an iPhone, that's the one I use, even though it's a pile of hot garbage. It does that as well. You can just do unplayed and hit play, you know, today, and it'll just go through all the ones, like, in order of release, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway. So, yeah, I don't think I'd do that with podcasts, but I would, you know, if I needed, you know, had a question, I would turn on the radio and try that out. I think that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and there's a version of it that I don't think people do it so much anymore, but there was a version of it for, may have been in the, I was going to say the 60s. I feel like the 60s is too early for it. It may actually be the 80s. But there was a version of it where you would basically take an AM radio and you'd ask the question, you just sort of turn the knobs back and forth and go through. And you know how you'll get snippets of voice and snippets of sound?
Mm-hmm.
You would listen until it starts to actually form coherent, like, sentences and thoughts and things like that. And so you'd, like, be hearing bits and pieces of, like, somebody talking, and it would eventually sort of come out as, like, you know, like, do not go to the store. Like, it's that kind of a thing. Like, maybe not quite that clear.
If I'm not mistaken, there's actually a, like, a ghost hunting implement.
Yes, that does something similar.
That does that?
Yes.
It cycles through AM stations or maybe even FM, and you can, whatever, like, kind of words you can pick out, that's,
yeah.
And it, you know, it's supposed to be, the spirits are able to kind of control what you're hearing, and that's kind of how it works. So yeah, that's definitely still done today.
Yeah. So, okay. So yeah, and I think you can even do that. Like, you can get apps that will do that on your phone for you. So
mm-hmm.
I think I've seen that. I think I've seen that as a
before.
Ghost
it's never, it's, what?
I said, I think I've seen one for ghost hunting before that does that, so.
Yeah. Sorry, our connection's a little weird right now.
Oh, sorry. It's the ghost. Spooky ghost. Any other, like, you know, travel-related magic charms, etc.? Divinations, etc.?
No, nothing that comes to mind. I mean, you know, nothing that I think other people aren't thinking of as well. You know, like a little plain charm. A lot of my thoughts tend to go to, like, little charms and jewelry pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why. And that's not necessarily, like, a thing that everyone can use, but that's really where my head is going for some reason.
I mean, I think it's smart because, again, like we said, it's the easiest thing to kind of carry with you wherever you go, which has been, you know, a theme mm-hmm. we've revisited a few times is this idea of, like, magic where you need it, magic, you know, with you in plain sight all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the slightly non-magical but maybe of interest to people who listen to our show anyway, normally I don't get into, like, herbal remedy type stuff. Because, one, I am not a doctor. I'm working on a doctorate, but I'm not a doctor, not a medical doctor. So, nor will I ever be a medical doctor. So, this is not medical advice. This is, don't take this as that. Talk to your doctor about this kind of stuff before you try it. But, one thing I found, I, do have a tendency sometimes to get motion sick.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that has helped me a lot is I sometimes will carry cloves, like whole cloves with me. And if you bite down on those while you're traveling, it can help alleviate motion sickness. So.
Really?
It has for me, I should say that.
I get so motion sick. Like, no matter what I'm doing, basically, it is really, really bad. I'm afraid to try a cruise just because I'm afraid I'll be sick as a dog the whole time.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people on cruises don't notice it so much, but if you're sensitive, you never know.
I'm very sensitive. If you'll recall, when we were in New Orleans, a lot of the shops we went into, for some reason, had, like, plywood floors. Or not even plywood, but, like, there were, like, those big strips or, like, sheets of luan kind of material. They weren't even, like... So they were very bouncy, is my point. Like, you could feel the floor kind of sway beneath you. I was sick so much in New Orleans. It was a problem. Like, I actually thought I might be pregnant. I was so sick.
Mm.
I called my husband and I was like, so, so, like, just from walking on those floors occasionally, I was really, really sick. And yeah, plane rides, car rides, any type of motion, I'm just bleh. But, and I've tried like the bands, you know, that put pressure points on your wrists.
Yeah.
And that's never helped me. The only thing that really helps is when I'm in a car and looking out as far to the horizon as I can.
Interesting. Yeah, that's I remember it. You.
But like on a plane, there's no relief on a plane because I can't see out. So.
Yeah. Well, I remember driving with you down to New Orleans, and I don't remember you getting particularly motion sick on that trip. So hopefully that was.
That was, well, yeah, because I, you know, I have to be like reading or whatever. You know, we were talking and like listening to podcasts, and so that's not a big deal. But like sitting in the back would have been.
Yes.
I probably would have gotten sick.
No, yes.
But that's interesting about clothes, though. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, one of the things on planes is to chew gum. And one thing I found was, like, if you use, you can go into, like, I think it's, like, Japanese grocery stores, but you can go to a lot of different type of, you know, Asian grocery stores and find clove gum. And, like, that is the best, like, for travel. That is awesome.
Cool.
But if you can't, then just even biting on it. And it's not going to taste great. Like, it's, the clove gum tastes fine, but, like, biting down on a clove does not taste great. But there's something about it that, like, I don't know if it does something about equalizing your ear pressure, or if it's just the fact that clove is kind of numbing. It's actually got kind of a natural Novocaine in it.
Oh.
I don't know if that does something to you or what it is, but it's lovely. It helps a lot. So, you know, there it is. Again, not a doctor. I have no idea. Yeah, clearly, I have no idea how it works. I'm just like, this thing worked for me. Must work for you. Woo! So take that as you will. But it's you know, it was an effective remedy for me. So I'm just putting it out there for anybody who wants to use it. So the last thing to kind of touch on here, and this is something I had sort of put aside as a discussion for the show, and we don't have a ton of time to discuss it, but I thought it would be worth discussing anyway, is the idea of, you know, we've got the idea of magic for travel and magic protecting you while you travel, magic to get you to your destination. But sometimes when you're traveling, like, if you're already magically inclined, you're a witchy person, you want to, you know, go to witchy places, and you and I have had the opportunity to do that to a few places. We've been to, you know, New Orleans and Salem. You're coming up to Philadelphia. There's some good kind of witchy history there as well. And so it's kind of neat to travel to places and, like, find out, like, witchy stuff about them and do witchy things while you're there. So I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about, like, how can you do that? You know, if you're going to Salem, you know what's there. You have a really clear sense of, like, I can go to Salem, walk the streets, and I'm going to find witchy stuff. But it's harder in other places. So how do we make that happen?
Google
is your friend. Yes, Google is very helpful. But so what do you Google? What is the stuff that
I would Google metaphysical shops in the area and make a plan to go there and then talk to the workers there and, you know, be like, so, you know, is there anything interesting around here to look at? You know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would approach it personally.
Yeah, and that was the first note I put down too. But I actually said, so Google obviously really, really good metaphysical shops. And that's the thing, it's like you have to kind of cycle through several different search terms. Metaphysical shops is a good one. You also can look for witch shops or witchy shops, occult bookstores. Sometimes you'll even want to look for like rock and gem shops or herbal shops.
New Age is a good one.
New Age shops. Botanicas is a good one. If that gets into something that I'll talk about in a minute, but the idea of like looking in specific communities, to see like what their magical shops are supplying. And if you put those search terms in, you can sometimes find results that you might not find if you just like type in one search term. If you just look for witchy shops, you may not find much, but if you look for there's a lot of terminology kind of around the stuff that we're interested in. So you have to kind of dig for it.
Well, and one thing I've noticed too, going into shops like that a lot, is they tend to have bulletin boards or like little flyers and things like that at the checkout that you can find, you know, group meetups and different things going on or things of interest that, you know, that are specifically local.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that, you know, that's something to look for, when you're going into a new area. One of the things I put down was to look for, like you said, look for the local stuff. If you go to the shops and you look at their kind of bulletin boards, look for what they're advertising, because you'll find stuff that you might not be able to find Googling, at least not easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can also sometimes find it if you look for like festivals. Like if you're looking at festivals or parades and things like that, you might find some interesting kind of folkloric stuff that has some magical connections if you want to look at that as well. And you mentioned the local shops. One of the things I love doing when you go to local shops is, one, you should totally buy stuff from them, if you can,
mm-hmm.
because support the community, right? But look for the stuff that they make, like just the stuff that only they make, because there's a lot of stuff that like a lot of stores are going to carry that like they got through Azure Green or they got through, Sacred Source, you know, the stuff that a lot of people carry, and that's fine. It's really, really neat. But finding like what the local community makes, like what that specific shop makes in house, always kind of gives you a better sense of like what the magic of that area is like.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah. Thanks. I thought so. Also Yelp, like not just Google, but check Yelp.
Yeah.
Yelp is pretty good, and you get photos a lot of times of the shops, so you kind of know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not quite as used as it used to be, but like meetup.com, mm-hmm. you know, still can, or I don't ever think of this because I'm not on it, but I know Facebook groups is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could search on Facebook for groups that were local to that area. Maybe that, you know, at the time you're traveling, they have some sort of open, you know, event or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's a great idea. I mean, I'm sure you could find that on MySpace too, but anyway. but you're right. Like if you look at social media, you're going to find people that are able to point you in the right direction. And that's another good point. If you know people in that area, get them to suggest stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, contact people. If they know something about, right. Like, you know, if your great aunt Gertrude, who, you know, who will literally beat the devil out of you with a Bible, you probably don't want to be like, hey, great aunt Gertrude, do you know where a good place to get a tarot deck is? And wherever you live, Texas, you know, like, yeah, you have to be a little careful about it, but you can find some neat stuff. That also gets into the idea of like, if you're looking at these communities that do have their own kind of specific types of folk magic, like, so for example, if you're looking at Botanicus, that is going to involve you entering into a community that may or may not be your own community. And that's true of like any, you know, going to any shop that's very sort of specifically oriented towards a community, that if you're going to temples, things like that, totally worth doing. Like one of my favorite experiences was going to the Taoist temple in San Francisco's Chinatown with Scarlett from Lakefront Pagan Voice, and like kind of observing everything. But it was designed for people to be able to come in and observe that sort of stuff. So you have to be very respectful about it. But it was wonderful. It was really neat to kind of see how it all worked.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of when we were in New Orleans and we went into that a couple different kind of voodoo type shops. I tried to be as respectful as possible. Just, you know, you don't want to walk in and be a stereotype tourist, right?
Right. Yeah. So. You don't want to. Also, because, you know, sometimes they have powerful magics and will destroy you. So, not that they will. That's exaggeration. But, you know, why piss off somebody who can cast a spell when you don't have to? That's a good motto to live by.
That actually does remind me of something, though. I'm sorry it's more jewelry, but I did buy something from the one of the little voodoo shops, and it wasn't really on the square. It was like far up towards the main road.
Yeah. The main voodoo, it's the voodoo temple of New Orleans or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I bought some bracelets that were specifically for protection, and so I haven't worn them in a while because they're kind of big on me, but I don't want to lose them. But maybe I'll pull those out again. Maybe I'll travel with those. Maybe they'll make me feel better.
That'd be cool. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
but I did, I made sure to ask before I bought them, what are these for? How were they sourced? I wasn't like, is it okay if I wear them? But, I wanted to be respectful as possible, so.
Right, you didn't want to just let me slap it but on and be like, isn't this pretty? Yeah,
exactly. No.
Very cool. Another thing to do if you're going to be going into a new place is look up local legends, look up local folklore and legends, because you're going to find interesting places to visit that way. You'll find more, sites to go look at, and you may find some things that kind of tip you off to other witchy stuff that you might be interested in, or other magical stuff that you might be interested in. I know there's a site called AmericanFolklore.net run by an author named S.E. Schlosser, who has a lot of regional guides, like Spooky South and Spooky Northeast, Spooky New England, things like that. And you can find legends that are for each state. And those will sometimes point you into some interesting directions. There are also guides there's the Weird USA guides, the ones that are for each state's kind of weird, unusual sites. And sometimes those will have kind of occult sites of interest. Atlas Obscura, which is a site that just sort of amalgamates a lot of really interesting, unusual stories about specific locations. And then also, look in the library sections, the folklore library sections, if you can look for stuff that's specifically local lore, but you might be able to find regional folklore books. Dewey Decimal 398 is your friend, if you're into folklore.
Dewey.
Good old Dewey. So go look for specific local legends and things like that that might point you towards things that you want to go see, things that you want to go visit. Even if you don't go to the libraries, you might go to a small bookshop. Small local bookshops usually will have a of local interest section. And there's almost always a folklore book or two in there that will,
those are always great.
You. Yeah. It's great. Folk museums, kind of the same thing. You can find little folk museums sometimes that'll have neat exhibits and stuff like that are on, they may call them local healing traditions or rural ways of life, but they're almost always going to have some sort of magical lore in there. So all of that is kind of my suggestions for what to do if you're going to be going to someplace new. Do you have any other suggestions?
Those are really good suggestions. Are you going to link those, websites you mentioned in the show notes? Cause I would like to take a look at those.
Yeah, absolutely. You should definitely check those out. Those, especially Atlas Obscura, the AmericanFolklore.net, both are really, really good. The Weird USA guides, there's nothing wrong with them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them, but they can be, they're sometimes designed to be a little sensationalist. There's some really good stuff in there. Actually, one of the things I like about them is that they collect local people's responses. They'll get letters from people who live in those areas, and so you do get actual on the ground ethnographic material.
Cool.
But sometimes they frame it a little but if you go there, make sure that you don't go at midnight or the cult's gonna come out of the murder house and and murderate you, what? Okay. So there's a little bit of that with them, but again, it's not, it's still, if you can move past that, the books themselves do have some good stuff in them. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's all I have on my notepad.
Okay. Well, you were trying to ask me about any websites or anything I might have.
Yes,
so one
yes.
other thing I can think of that's, it's a little sillier of a suggestion, but if you're into cryptid type stuff, or maybe UFO sightings. Like, you know, if you're going somewhere specific, you can always search for sightings in that area. And if they are plenty, then that might help you decide where you want to go. Like, I know that there's like a Bigfoot reporting website. I think it's called like, BFRO, like BFRO.com. And then there's, mm-hmm. of course, there's like MUFON and things like that for UFO mm-hmm. sightings. And, you know, that's not usually something we kind of get into. We have like done one episode where we talked about it, but that might help kind of open the door to other, you know, of our type of things. So I just thought I would throw that out there. That might be an interesting place to look. Or, you know, it may just be good for a laugh if you don't really go in for that.
Sure. No, I mean, there is definitely an interest in, like, cryptids. Because, I mean, one of the things we've talked about in here is, like, the idea of, like, the spirits of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, these sort of cryptids wind up being that. They wind up having this connection. Like, the Jersey Devil is sort of a spirit of the land for mm-hmm. that area. So you do have these things that you can kind of do. Atlas, if you haven't been looking at Atlas Obscura, that will be a good site for you. Because they do a lot of that.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out then.
Yeah, so that they do a lot of that kind of cryptid stuff, as well as these kind of other things that are interesting. So good suggestions. I'll link to MUFON, and I'll double check that BFRO. But
yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm not sure, but I think I've seen it mentioned in passing.
Love the name of it. I just want to be like, hey, BFRO, what's up? I'm just gonna start saying that to people. I'm really not. That was a lie. I don't know why I said that out loud.
It's BFRO.net.
BFRO.net. There you go.
Yeah. So it's Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization is what it stands for.
So my BFRO.
But you can search by region, which is why I suggest it.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of travel in one episode.
Yes, it is.
Which, you know, thankfully podcasts, they're portable. You can take them with you wherever you travel.
You can travel with us.
If you really want to travel with us, you can come meet us in Philadelphia.
Yes!
On June 3rd.
That was such a good segue. Come meet us.
Yep. So June 3rd, 2017, at the Penn Museum in Philadelphia. That is the main meetup. There's links in the show notes, so check that out. We would love to meet you.
Please try to RSVP, because we need to have a head.
Yeah, so we've done some special arrangements to try to make sure that we have private tours and things like that. And I'm basing that largely on the people that have confirmed they are going. But we do also have, like, on the Facebook event, like, something like 20 to 30 people who are like, I'm interested in going. And I'm like, if all those people show up, that's going to be really, that's going to be a lot of people. which is awesome.
But no, we will turn no one away, and we will love you all.
Yes, but we do want a headcount if we can do it. And I'm going to be putting some stuff out there. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll already be out there, so you can RSVP and let us know if you're going to be there for sure, and we'll get you all set up. And you can come see us. You can come hang out with us. We'll all learn about ancient magics together, have some fun on a spirits and spiritualists tour that afternoon as well. If you have other feedback for us, anything else that you'd like to share with us, you can always email us or leave us a comment on the blog. That's newworldwitchery.com.
Mm-hmm. The email is compassandkey@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. You can follow us at Twitter. I do tweet occasionally. I particularly tweet for something called Folklore Thursday, which is, it's a hashtag. But you find lots of cool folklore stuff that gets circulated by professional folklorists, amateur folklorists, people who are just interested in folklore. It's a fun hashtag to follow. So I participate in that pretty regularly.
Cool.
Facebook page, find us there as well. Pinterest, the old broom board, you can find us there. All these are linked in the show notes. I feel like I need to throw to you so you can do something, but the only thing I have left on my list is the phone number, and I don't think you have that memorized yet.
I don't. But I always laugh about it because it makes me giggle.
That's okay. It's totally okay. I just didn't want people to be like, man, he's just talking over her on this one. But like,
no, so, not at all.
If you want to leave us a voicemail, we love voicemails. We love getting those. And you can call us at 442-999-4824, which is 442-99- a witch. if you need to see the sort of transcription of that in wordiness. I don't know how else to say that. There's a term for that, but I can't remember what it is. It's not like a vanity plate, but it's something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a vanity number.
A vanity number. I like that.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, you know, we kind of always mention this at the end. There's always Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/newworldwitchery and check us out. You know, we have some various goals we try to reach, and you get perks for, you know, donating what you can, whether that be a dollar or on up. So check that out if you feel like it.
Yeah, and I mean, and honestly, the past, like, month or two, there have been lots of fun little perk things, everything from extra bonus episodes to, you know, a little extra bonus for people who are Patreon supporters who are also attending the Philadelphia event. So we do try to make it worthwhile for you to be a Patreon supporter. So if you are interested, certainly hop over there, check us out, throw a buck or two in the hat if you can. And if you can't do that, we get it. You know, people sometimes just aren't in a position to do that. But if you want to share us around with your friends, your family, your enemies, perhaps, you can do that. And, you know, we'll crush your enemies for you.
Check out these assholes.
Exactly. These turd burgers are awful. You probably like them. That's fine. You can do that. We're fine with that. We're not picky. So yes, just share us around, leave us a review on iTunes. It's super helpful. Anything like that is certainly welcome, and we appreciate that. That is it for that me. It. You got anything?
Nope, that's it. I guess all I have to say is thanks for listening.
And be well.